Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray this morning as we gather, as we wrap up this series, Lord, that I just pray that some of it would take hold. Lord, that we would understand who you say we are. And Father, that understanding that would impact our lives, would impact our speech, the way we interact. Father, I pray this morning as we look at this last segment that you would just have your hand on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week I headed for a conference. So at 2 a.m. on Monday, I woke up and started getting ready to have Robin take me to the bus so the bus could bring me to Boston, and then Boston could fly me to Orlando, and then I could wait for a shuttle to get my rental car and wait for that shuttle for 47 minutes in order to walk in 3 minutes late as my pre-conference was starting. And so it was a good long day, and I was feeling good. I was feeling good. As a matter of fact, I was feeling great. And the problem was that before I left, or else when I was on the plane, there was this guy on the plane who was behind me and just kind of leaning forward like this, like laying his head on the table there, going it's like, oh no. I had a mask in my bag, but I was over by the window seat, and my bag is underneath the seat there. How is a guy my size with a person larger than my size sitting next to me going to maneuver to get that bag? So I'm trying to go under, and I'm just about pulling every muscle in my body to try to get that bag. I couldn't do it. Well, anyway, I don't know if I left with what took over or if it was a gift from my flight. But by Tuesday, I was coming down with a good case of man cold. Boy, it was rip-roaring, and when colds hit me, they hit me fast. When illnesses hit me, they hit me fast. And so I was coughing and coughing. It's one of those nights where you're like just trying to be able to sleep, but you can't. I got this smartwatch that tells me how I sleep, and there's part of it that concerns me. There's this little part that says your mental recovery from your sleep. On Tuesday night, I was hacking and coughing so bad. It said mental recovery, 19%. 19%? And I was like, that's when you don't start with a lot. Only having 19% of it renewed was not a real good thing. The next day, it went all the way up to 23%. And so I'm looking at this deficit of my mental recovery. So I want to tell you that here I am standing in front of you today at minus 273% mental acuity. So I'm excited, but the conference, praise God that we have this technology now, that even though I had to spend one day in my hotel room and not leave, I was able to plug into the conference online and not miss all of it. So I was so thankful for that. But it was hard because I said to my wife, you know, I was all alone in a hotel, and I didn't even have you to take care of me or go get me things. Yeah, I needed somebody to sing Soft Kitty to me, and nobody did. It was just me alone. But I made it. I did okay, and I made it. And the theme of the conference was good, great, greater. Talking about Jesus saying, you will do even greater things after I'm gone and I've left the Holy Spirit to you. And considering what that was, and I'm thinking, you know, as I'm going around, wow, we do a lot of good things. We do a lot of great things. But I wonder, and I said, I'm not really praying for greater. I'm not really praying that God would do greater things through us. And what are those greater things? I think for so long, many churches have said greater things means bigger numbers, bigger productions, bigger buildings. The building I was at with 6,000 of us at First Baptist Church in Orlando was just huge, 6,000 of us. Now, kids must love it there. Parents, I don't know how they cope, because there are three or four different places where you'll be up on the third floor, and all of a sudden there's a hole in the wall with a plastic opening for a slide. And you go down the three flights of stairs and come out, and that slide empties out into the outside in the courtyard, in the play area. And there are all these slides for the kids, which is really cool. And I'm thinking, how is this going to be when your two-year-old just jumps in that slide when you're walking by, and then suddenly you're like, ah, running down the stairs going, my kid just went through the chute and is now outside without me in the middle of the courtyard. But I was like, wow, how can it be that they can have these cool things? And sometimes we think that greater is always more. It's got to be more. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be bigger and better and all that. But that's not the greater that Jesus was talking about. The greater that Jesus was talking about was lives that are changed, lives that are impacted, things that are totally different now because of his working through you. I think of those of us who have been able to see the results of sponsorship in sponsoring children in Guatemala when we've gone back and been able to see the results of sponsorship and how that has changed life. And I look and think, you know, that is the greater that God is talking about. Greater things will you do. And we'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come. I am just so much smarter now than before I left. So this morning, wait a minute. I have Sudafed on board. I have Mucinex on board for the cough. I also took a swig of Tussin DM. I've got that head that feels like, ugh. But trying not to cough has been my goal because that's the only lasting thing. So I'm going to try to hold this close and be ready to mute to help my daughter when she goes to edit all this stuff. I'd like to point out this cool little thing right here that the Lord provided. This is a camera. that streams directly to, we can make it so it goes to Facebook, YouTube, whatever, and will be much better than the GoPro system we had. The Lord provided the funds for that through one of our church folks, part of the family, said, we feel like God wants us to do that. So let's improve that for the people who are shut in at home, can't make it. So that little doohickey right there, I can zoom in, like I can touch this button and zoom in on my face. Or I can touch that button and go back out so you see the whole thing. It will follow me around, so if I walk over here, it goes, so those kind of things. But so cool of what God, how God has provided, and I'm so thankful for that. So let's review. Some of the things that we've done over the last few weeks. Week number one, only Jesus completes you. We need a Savior. You are God's masterpiece. Remember? We've got that. We're reviewing these each week just so that we can try to get them into place. The second week, we talked that you were not elected by people, but chosen by God. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. And you have authority from the one who sent you to be his ambassador. And then in the third week, we did this. We talked about you are God's people. And I said, be who you are. Now, I want to pick up on that from last week a little because we cut short in that area. What does that mean to be who you are? What it means is use your interests, your personality to be salt and light. We watched a video about being clones, that everybody wants to be like somebody else. I need to be more like that person. I need to be a better Christian, better this, better, 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 instead of understanding that God has created you like you are with the personality that you have, and that you can be salt and light as that person to impact others who are like you. Some introverts are scared to death of me. I understand it. They're like, whoo, that guy just came and he started talking to me and he just kept going on and talking. What's that? Other extroverts are just like immediately pick up and go, huh, and start talking, right? But sometimes, you know what happens? An extrovert goes all over the place and connects with 100 people. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Hi. It's like Colton when he was little. He was about 2 years old and he was getting on the plane and he's coming down the aisle and he's tapping everybody on the knee. Hi. And he's going down to his seat like, that kid is definitely an extrovert. And everybody's like smiling at him except for the occasional person who's like, eh. So, but if you're an introvert, you do things differently. We can go home. Robin and I can go home, and she's had conversations with two people. But she's had real conversations with two people. I've connected with 60 people. And she'll be like, how are they? I have no idea. No, they looked okay. They were there. They were upright. Robin will say, hey, did you know so-and-so? This is what's happening and going on. And then I'll say, no. How'd you know that? See, I had this thing called the conversation. A conversation. So even though you're an introvert, God still uses you, even though the rest of society has spent your entire life trying to push you out of your shell. Right? Trying to push you out of your shell. That's not a shell. Sometimes it's your giftedness. It's your giftedness. And so, you know, being who you are, to be who you are, means be who God created you to be. I need somebody to come up here and help spare my voice and stand here and read that screen up here. Who's going to do it this morning? Here comes Tom. All right. Thank you, Tom. A little... I'm going to push the button on your face. There's Tom. Look at this. Pushing the button over here on your face. And now it's just you. Hey, it's a little short for you, huh? You could do it handheld if you wanted.
Test. Here we go. Okay. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, but just one part. If the foot says, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. So do you get the message there? Be who you are. Be who you are. If you're a foot, be a foot. It's okay. Don't run around always wanting to be a mouth. Man, I'm a mouth. I get it. I'm a mouth. Oftentimes as people are like, wow, you've done so much, and you do this, and you do that. And I say, wait a minute. I don't do a whole lot. I have this team of people that do all the stuff, and I'm just a mouth. That's all I do. I get text messages. Hey, do you have a couch? I don't know if we have a couch. Hey, do I need to put in my friend's order for meals? I don't know if you need to put in their order for meals. Do you have enough volunteers for Open Door Kitchen tonight? I don't know. I am a mouth. I'm like, I listen to the brain, but I just stand up here and go, blah, 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 blah. I'm the mouth. And people will ask questions about all the different ministries that we have, and they'll say, of course you know, right? And I go, I don't know. And I'll say, here, talk to the hand. That's Dana. Dana's a hand. Dana's definitely a hand, and I don't mean talk to the hand like this. I mean, Dana's a hand. He's moving stuff. He knows what's going on. He's in that. I say, give Steve a call. Steve will know. Send Steve a text. He'll know what's going on with that. And so sometimes I, as the mouth, the people give me all the credit. And I say, you guys, that's not how this works. I am blessed to be part of this body that gets done what we get done. And I just say, hey, guess what God did? You know, there are people behind the scenes working. Greg's working on trying to find insurance for us. And Greg is like doing stuff with the building and making sure the furnace got inspected and done and this. And people say, hey, is your furnace inspected? I would say, I don't know. I am a mouth. So you be who you are and be salt and light in that. So this morning, to wrap things up, I want you to understand your identity. Yeah, we've seen you're ambassadors for Christ. We've seen that you're salt and light. We've seen that you are sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We've seen all that, but see, in Philippians, it tells us that you are citizens of heaven. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a citizenship test. A little quiz here. And you don't have to, you're not going to have to speak out loud and tell your answers. But if you have paper or anything nearby, I will want you to write down your answer. You're not going to have to turn it in to this quiz that we're going to have. Now, here we go. It's a citizenship test. And these questions are taken from the test to be a citizen of the United States. Okay, so if you come here as an alien, foreigner, stranger, like the Bible says that we are, all right, if you come here and need to become a citizen, you have this exam of 100 questions of civics and history and all of this. And here's just a few. See how we do on the citizenship test. All right, the first one, what territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Write down your answers. Just write those down. All right. What was it? Louisiana Territory, which now was so much area that it now takes up 15 states. Okay? Louisiana Territory. And if you didn't get it right, okay, that's okay. All right, the next one. What is the foundational principle of the rule of law? Write that down in essay form, please. And then hand in your blue books. The rule of law. No one is above the law. That's part of our constitutional. It's a foundational part in the United States. No one, no matter by position or power or anything, is above the law. Here's a contemporary question for you. Who is the Chief Justice of the United States right now? Sorry, Shara. I see a lot of puzzled faces. John G. Roberts. When was the Constitution of the U.S. written? Oops. Now, some of you guys flunked. That would be nice, multiple choice. Well, that's a good question. Should we get kicked out? Well, we're citizens because we were born here, most of us. in this room. In fact, statistics show us that 1 in 3 Americans, thank you. I have one of Leslie's fishermen's friends. That makes your whole head numb. And remember, I already started with a deficit. Surveys have found that only 1 in every 3 Americans can pass the citizenship test. That means 66% of us can't pass the test. So when we look and we talk about test results, our test results, when we go through here, we know that we are citizens because we are born here. Now, if we go through having a test to see if we can stay, So I didn't want to tell you guys this, but there's a bus outside. So this little citizenship test with 100 civics questions, when you go in for that test, you might have an auditory one where somebody asks you 10 questions. You have to get 6 of them right in order to pass and become a citizen. So what's the citizenship test for heaven? What's the test? Romans, somebody look up Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Yeah, Mary has it. Go ahead, Mary. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Our citizenship test is no test. Our citizenship in heaven is a gift through faith in Christ, and that's it. You don't know all the answers. You can't even say all the books of the Bible. Somebody says, look up, Zechariah something, something, and you go, I don't even know where that is. But see, it's not what we do that makes us citizens of heaven. It's what Christ did. It's what he did. So we are citizens of heaven as a gift given us by Jesus. By Jesus. There's no test. No test. So our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians 2, 19. You're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So when we look and say, do we deserve to be here? Do we deserve to be citizens of heaven? No. No. But we are given that gift of saying, come on in because you have been made righteous by my blood. Your debt has been paid. There's no balance due. Come on in. I got your picture in my wallet. So two things to close this series. Number one, we think differently. We choose to think differently because we're citizens of heaven. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Choose to think differently. Because I'm a citizen of heaven, I'm going to think differently. This fight over here, They're really going at it. Doesn't really matter. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven is my first priority, so I'm going to choose to think differently. Romans 12:2. Let the Lord renew your mind. Don't be conformed by the pattern of the world. The second thing, we live differently because we're citizens of heaven. We're living an abundant life where our hope is eternal. We know that the sufferings of right now are not even worth comparing to what's to come. We have hope. We have hope. I've heard people say, and this one always gets me, man, times are so bad. They're so bad right now. I've never seen it this bad. And I think we used to lose our children to winter. Okay? We used to lose our children to winter. And now we say, here's a blanket. Oh, it's never been this bad before. You know that Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton? Those guys were fighting so much, they had a duel. Our hope is eternal. We're ambassadors. We're salt and light. While the music team comes up, we're going to watch this video that I think summarizes this entire series, and I hope you can hang on to it.
Let me introduce you to yourself. You are alone. A solitary figure, connected joint and bone to no one but yourself. And this is the life you chose. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are cut off, separated. You ran into your isolation, and now there is no way back into the family from which you came. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are stained. You have sealed your isolated separation with guilt. Let me introduce you to yourself. You are under the shroud of slavery. In trying to own yourself, you became owned. Your master is your sin. You serve nothing but your own isolation and separation. This is your identity. This is who you are. But let me introduce you to who He is. He is God's special possession. There is no shroud of darkness on him, yet he fell under the dark veil of death so that God might specially possess us. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the holy nation. He is perfect and the fullness of God's kingdom. Yet He left his kingdom of purity to take on our impurity. He tarnished his holiness by becoming sin for us. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the royal priesthood. There was no distance between himself and God, yet the royal one was struck for our separation. He took the blow for our absence. Let me introduce you to who he is. He is the chosen one. before the foundations of the earth, he chose to stand alone to bring us to God. That is who he is. That is the identity of Jesus. But there is even more. So let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the chosen people. No longer alone, you have been brought into a full and eternal family with God Himself as your Father and the Prince of Peace as your brother. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the royal priesthood. You are the sons and daughters of the King who stand as a beacon of light to a separated world that there is hope and there is access to the Father. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now the holy nation. You have been sprinkled with the blood of God's perfect Son, so that now all his goodness, all his righteousness, all his perfection is credited to you. Let me introduce you to who you are now. You are now God's special possession. You have been sealed for salvation. You have been protected with perseverance. He who bought you with his blood will never let you fall away, for he loves you and he owns you. This is who you were. This is who he is. This is who you are now. This is your identity.
Lord, go with us this week. Might we remember that we are your ambassadors, that our job is to be salt and light, and Father, that we are citizens of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys.